Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that we can be here in this first session and all that you've done to give us your word and preserve it over the centuries, we can all benefit from today. Not only can we benefit, but many thousands of people can benefit because of this class. It thrills my heart to just dream of what you can do through us, not because of us, but because your word is so powerful. And if we can just preach and teach your word, then you will take it and you'll do all that you want to do, far more than what we could ever do. So I pray that you would help us to learn how to preach and teach the word, and that you'd guide our sessions, you'd guide our weeks together. And this truly would be life-changing for us in this regard. We recommit ourselves to that end, Lord, and pray that you'll do it. And we'll be amazed to see you do it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I will pass out the attendance sheet here. And then I will also pass out the sign-up list for your projects. Most of you have not signed up for the project. If it passes by you because you just don't know what you want to do yet, that's fine. We'll pass it around later on after I explain more about the projects. All right? How many of you want to have a copy of class notes in addition to what we have here? 1, 2, 3, 4. Margaret, did you want? Clevin, do you want? Copy of the class notes? Yeah, that thick thing. It's good as a weapon, if nothing else. You know? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And Gavin as well? 7? Okay. I think. And 8? Okay. I got 10 of them coming from the printer, so that'll cover. And so these notes are, these are $20 each. Now that you've committed, I'll tell you that you can get them for free. Bible study downloads at my preaching link. You can download them, as you have seen in my other courses. Some of you, I think all of you have had a course with me before. If you prefer to do that, as I see several of you, we're up to about half of you using your computers in class, kind of like my other class. Pretty soon it's going to be 100% of students using computers in class. So I'm trying to move that way, you know. So that we're not really using paper so much. I don't have anything against paper, but there are many advantages, of course, using that. I think we've all kind of been together in class before, so I can tell you how wonderful my wife is and all that kind of stuff, and how she's been so much a part of our ministry here in these 28 years that we've been. Next month is 28 years. Here's my guys. I think this is my favorite picture of my sons. I didn't tell them to smile. I guess I told a really good joke, something like that, and I caught them right. You know, I caught them right after that. So, those guys are, as you know, I think for several of you, the two older ones are married. Kurt and his wife, Cara. Actually, are starting a consultancy company since last semester, and so that's big news for them. Big news for Stephen and Katie. Ta-da! She's going to have a baby, which they're not going to have a son. I'm just going to have a grandson. No, they're going to have a son in May, and Stephen is now flying for United, so he feels like, you know, he's getting more established in his passion to fly. He just loves flying these Airbus. It's just truly a calling for him. And then John is our youngest. He's still a graphic artist. These are some updated pictures of these guys. Really special guys. Our mission continues to be World Venture. And I continue to direct the doctoral program here, the Doctor of Ministry program. And I hope you guys will stay in touch with me in the years ahead after you graduate, and that you can come back twice a year for 1 week and be, demon students. So here's some of our demons. What is this? I think six of these guys from around the nations. That's just a wonderful thing to see how God is working. Abe Kuruvilla is right here, and I think I may have you read one of his articles later on. He is one of our D-men, preaching professors, and I think he's probably the most prolific writer of books on homiletics. It's just really his calling at Dallas Seminary. And he'll be coming again next year to teach here at SBC. So it's truly been a privilege to teach here at the Bible College for these years. And several of you were in my background course on Old Testament foundations. But I'm privileged to teach Bible survey and theology. And then the preaching courses, we actually have two of them here at the college. This is our basic preaching course, 3-hour course, but we have a homiletics 2 course as well. But the likelihood is that you will take that course from Dr. Desmond, who is he's teaching the more advanced ones, because his D-min is actually in the area of homiletics. So kind of fun for me to have he's one of my former students from 20 years ago, now my boss, so to speak, handling a strategic development here at the college, but also teaching homiletics. I continue to pastor Crossroads International Church, where we have still a small church, about 35, 40 people, but from 13 different countries. And it's my privilege to preach through Scripture there at the church. I think I shared with you last year that 2 years ago I started preaching through each book of the Bible. I want to, when I face the Lord Jesus, I want to say, yes, I told them what you said in every book. So that's one of my goals. And I am continuing on through the New Testament. I think I'll be able to do it by December, to preach one sermon on each book of the New Testament. So this Sunday is a sermon overview of 2 Thessalonians. And so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to learn how to preach one whole book of the Bible in one sermon. Generally 40 minutes to 60 minute sermon. That's not something I'm going to teach you to do, but a lot of the skills are the same thing. I'm not going to have you preach a whole book of the Bible. It's more material to try to get a hold of. But it's really been a privilege to have some of our students join us in various capacities at church, several of whom have preached at the church. And that's a great privilege. This is Crossroads International Church, or cicfamily.com. And if you have some time and you want to see how some of the things that I'm saying, at least some of the convictions I have about how you actually preach through the text of Scripture, I'm trying to do that most weeks. And you can see, you can listen to any of those sermons at cicfamily.com. So if you're interested in doing that. Okay, that's just a little bit about myself, a family update. Anything from you about that? All right, we're good. I want to turn your attention to Isaiah 55. All right, I'm going to read this for you. It's these verses from Isaiah 55. And then I want to see if you can sum up what these verses are actually saying. All right? Isaiah 55, 8 and following. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It's the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. So here's what God says about his word. Now, what I would like you to do is talk to somebody next to you. Most of you are sitting in pairs, which is good. What is this actually talking about? And you feel free to look it up in your Bible, Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 11. What is God, through Isaiah, actually saying about his word here on Isaiah 55? I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to talk with the person next to you about that, okay? See if you can sum up what he's saying in one sentence. This is what he's saying about God's word. All right, let you talk to the person next to you. And if you're listening on the website, it's good for you to read this passage and see if you can do it. Can you sum it up? Sum it up in one sentence. That's taking five verses and putting together in one sentence. Okay, do each of your groups have a kind of one sentence to sum it up? Can you do it? A bit challenging, isn't it? Listen. Is that a bit challenging to do it in a sentence? Yeah, give it a try.
I'm God, you're not.
What's that?
I am God, you're not.
Oh, I am God, you're not. Okay. Yeah, you're right. But you're not God.
No, I'm not.
Oh. Okay, so God is saying he is God, we are not God. Okay. Certainly part of it. Listen, what would you add to that? Good. All right. God's word has the power to accomplish his will. All right? Is it even, would you say it even a little bit different? A little stronger? Yeah, you're on track on that. What's that? God's word will accomplish his will. Yeah, good. Clever?
My word is a sure thing.
My word is a sure thing. Yeah, so we know that what the Lord says is true. All right. What other elements might be here?
He said, God's purposes will come to pass even when we couldn't have imagined them working through certain situations.
Okay, God's purposes will come to pass. So you're thinking more in terms of the will of God. Not so much of the word of God.
Well, in the sense that when God speaks, he acts, right?
Yeah. God speaking and acting are not really that different. Okay. Did you try to break this down into components? You know, like verses 8 and 9, what are they saying? You know, God's talking about his thoughts. Incomprehensible, right? His thoughts are far higher than our thoughts. Now, is this these illustrations about rain and snow and how rain and snow, how water causes the grain to grow and all that, is that actually talking about God's thoughts? What's a connection between the thoughts of God and water?
It's an analogy.
Okay, this is an analogy, and what is it actually telling us? What is analogous to?
I mean, in the same way that rain and snow come down, and they only come down, they don't, they never go back up the other way. They only flow one direction. God's words don't come back.
Okay, rain and snow do come down, and this doesn't tell us that they go back up, but we know they do. We know every drop of rain that comes down to the earth eventually gets evaporated back up and it gets cycled again. Yeah, Kevin?
Example of how intricate God's thoughts are.
How intricate his thoughts are?
Very complex and beyond human comprehension.
Mm-hmm. So, in other words, we don't understand how... You know, obviously, rain and snow both water the earth. So we can just say water. We don't understand how water causes everything to grow. Just as we don't understand how water causes everything to grow, so we don't understand how God's thoughts.
I think at the point of
do
time,
what? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At the point of time, you have made a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Because they didn't have science, right? Like, they didn't know the water cycle and things.
This would have made a lot of sense because they didn't know the water cycle.
Yeah.
I think I would say they certainly did know the water cycle. In fact, if you go to the book of Job, the description of nature in the book of Job, which is at least 1,300 years before Isaiah, is astonishing how much Job knew. He talks about Pleiades and Orion, these constellations. He talks about so many things of nature. They didn't understand about H2O, maybe chemical composition, that kind of thing that we understand today. But they certainly could see water that was on the ground that evaporated when the sun came out. and they knew that it was going back up in the atmosphere. Yeah, and what else? Winston, what do you think?
What? Control, God's sovereign.
God's in control and sovereign. Uh-huh. Okay, very good. The reason for his word to go out is to achieve something.
And so just like rain and snow feed the soil.
Uh-huh.
Or,
yeah. In other words, water has a purpose. Does water achieve its purpose?
Yes.
It really does. In fact, did you know that the amount of water on the earth remains the same all the time? The amount of water that we have right now is the same as it was 2,000, 4,000 years ago. Some of it sometimes more of it's up in the air, some of it's more of on the earth. God uses water to come into our bodies and nourish our bodies, but eventually it goes through a whole cycle, and it does whatever that little drop of water that's falling from the sky right now, that one has purpose. Whatever that drop is ordained to do, it's going to happen. That little drop might nourish your body and keep you alive. That little drop might nourish plants and provide bread for you to eat. That little drop might be the one you showered in this morning that refreshed your body. You know, there's this thousands of ways that water is used by God. And each of them, each drop, accomplishes the purpose for which God sent it. It's kind of a profound thought, isn't it? If you want profound thoughts, go to Isaiah. I mean, this is filled, the whole book is just filled with it.
Did you say that his promises are true?
Yeah, so promises would be the idea here. His thoughts are not just abstract thoughts, and they're not just higher than us, but his thoughts are effective thoughts. Or his words, his thoughts are communicated in words, as you see when you get to verse 11. It's the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to. And it will prosper everywhere I send it. Now, obviously, this is a figure of speech here. Produces fruit. His word produces fruit. So we're not talking about literal fruit here. But whatever that kind of product of God's word going out is effective. It shall happen. I don't know about you, but this is a tremendously encouraging passage of Scripture. What are the implications of this in your life and mine? How would you verbalize it? This power of God's Word. Don't you want to tell people God's thoughts rather than your thoughts? I mean, do you really care about? Do you think your friends and congregation really care about your thoughts? Do they need your thoughts? Your great insights? Not really. I mean, they need you as a living person to communicate to them, but they need you as a living person to communicate to them God's thoughts, God's word. And then, what will it do? Just as water accomplishes all that God wants it to do, so God's word will always produce fruit. So what will be the application of this? What's the so what?
Hope in times of trouble.
Because yeah.
The snow and the water, though God's purpose is to grow the plant, for example, but water and snow can be a hindrance to us sometimes. If it's too much of water, flooding and all suffering happens. Crops die, right?
So there's a parallel to water, but not too much water?
Yeah.
So what is it? Don't give people too much Bible? Okay. I know. I knew you wasn't going to go there, right? Yeah.
I'm saying because his ways are higher than our ways.
Yeah.
So the snow and the water in his purpose and will is, at the end of the day, there's a good because it's God's will.
Oh, that's, there's another good idea there. It's not just that water does something. It's that water does something good.
Yeah.
Water has a good purpose.
Yeah, but for us, our ways are lower.
Yeah.
So at that point in time, no doubt it's water, but we may be suffering, like I said. If it's
yeah. Isaiah, of course, knew that too much water can kill people. Okay. People drown in Isaiah's day, as they do in our day. But that's not the point he's bringing here. He's just saying water produces a very, very wonderful benefit. God's word produces an even better benefit. So the implication there is, yeah, listen to God's word. And for you and me as teachers and preachers, teach the word. Preach the word. Tell people the word. Tell people what God says. This is one of my burdens that I carry around with me all the time. I realize I, as a teacher and preacher of the word, I'm going to appear before Jesus. He himself is going to say, Rick, I gave you my word. What'd you do with it? And I certainly don't want to say, yeah, I should have talked about it more. I just kind of had my own ideas. And that's what a lot of preachers and teachers are going to say. They're going to have to confess to the Lord. I want to be one who says, you told them what I, you know, I want them to say, you told them what I told you all. There are discouragements that come as a pastor, to be honest with you. One of them I experienced just a couple days ago because I discovered that a family was leaving our church and kind of do some, they're going to go to another church. And so I thought, okay, what reason? Why? The word came to me through their 19-year-old daughter, you know, I'm going to go through with my parents to a new church, you know. So I thought, here's the main thing that hit me. Have I been faithful in preaching God's word to them? Is it that have been faithful and they can't handle the word of God? And so they want to go to someone else who's going to make them feel better because they're teaching. There's so many people teaching false theology around, you know. If that's the case, then I can have a clear conscience before the Lord. If I've said things that are just offensive because it's my way and my manner, and then that's not good. I need to change. I need to find out, you know, why they laughed. I need to follow up with them. But if it's being faithful, as it was with another lady who left the church last month, the word came to me that she left because we are not pro-LGBT. You know, what does that mean, pro-homosexual? I believe we've got one or two that are actually going to the church, you know, and we welcome them. We want them to understand God's view of sexuality. So we certainly haven't kicked them out or anything like that. But am I supposed to change my message, God's message, in order to keep people? I want to give people God's word, and the words can be a word of warning sometimes too. And you know, I don't make it a goal in my sermons to offend as many people as possible. I want to be amicable and all that, but I also don't want to tell people my word rather than God's word. Do you see any other implications here? Anything you would like to share? How does this word speak to you? You know?
Maybe the word of God, you may not be able to see the effect immediately. Sometimes, you know, that we come down and
yeah.
Take a long time.
Okay.
So, sometimes, as we share the word, when we teach the word, we tend to measure our ministry by the immediate response. And people will sometimes get a very negative feedback to you and you get feel discouraged.
Okay.
But it's quite encouraged that, yeah, it is actually the long haul to see the result.
Yeah, so we often don't get the, we often don't see the results of a faithful preaching of the scripture. Just like, you know, you had dinner last night, right now, right? You had dinner last night. Did you see the results of it? Like, I mean, you ate something that the water produced. What was the result? Well, you went to bed happier, I guess, right? Rather than going to bed without any dinner. But last week, my wife and I, we hit our 35th year together. Our 35th anniversary. So I brought her in front of the church, and I said, sweetheart, we've been married 35 years. That is 73,783 days. Or was it 73? Something like that. Anyway, I counted it all out. How many days? Oh, no, it's 12,783 days. I said, you probably didn't know that you've been married to me for 12,783 days, did you? She goes, no, I just knew it was 35 years. I said, at two meals a day, that means you've cooked over 25,000 meals for me. What a wonderful long-term, you know, I am so much better, healthier, having married a woman who knows how to cook and, you know, anyway. That was just one of the practical things I was trying to say. That's how God's word is with us. It feeds us, and we don't automatically see the benefit of it. But my prayer for you, as we just prayed a minute ago, is that you will gain skills in how to tell people God's word rather than your own word. All right, so the goal is like this, on our next slide. We've got this whole Bible bookshelf of 66 books. And we've got our modern Singapore that does not have it as a goal to live according to those 66 books. That's not the goal of most people here in Singapore. But our goal should be to bridge the gap. It should be to take those books of Scripture and show how relevant they are in our present day. And so that's what we're going to do in this course. And so let's go into the course description that you have in the syllabus that I will, it's on, if you haven't, well, I emailed it to you, but it's also on the website and stuff too. But here's what we're going to do in this class. This is our course description, Instruction in the Crafting of Expository Sermons. What's an expository sermon? Through the expositional process of exegesis, theology, and homiletics. So we're taking out of the text what's there through exegesis, which you have gained a lot of skills on that from other courses, and we won't deal with that one quite as much in this course because it's more of a speaking course rather than a study course. But with attention to the strategic use of rhetorical argumentation, how do you actually communicate what that passage is saying? Manuscripting? What kind of style are you to preach with? How can you be clear? That's the style and clarity. And finally, the preaching of two sermons, an epistle and an Old Testament narrative. So everybody in the room, either taking the class for credit, will be preaching two sermons in this class.
Not 3 hours, be sure.
What's that?
3 hours.
Oh, yeah, this is a three-hour course. Yeah, that's not a three-hour sermon. We're not trying to set any records. Actually, three-hour sermons are easier than 30-minute sermons. Because you just keep going on, you know. But anyway, preaching calendars and specialty sermons are addressed too. We'll have a few sessions on how to do narrative. That is the hardest preaching, I think. And Dr. Dez will continue on that in homiletics 2. But we'll talk about topical and monologue, evangelistic, wedding, and funeral sermons. There are unique, different types of situations where people need to hear the scripture. So we'll We'll address those in just a session or two. But we won't actually be preaching those. You may do that when you get to Homiletics 2. When I teach Homiletics 2, sometimes we'll have funerals in class. Somebody will lie right here.
What?
I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. We bring the coffin in. You know, how still can you stay in that coffin? You know? No, we try to make it realistic as possible, as if you're there at the funeral. It's a very different type of preaching you have to give, you know. So here's our objectives. By the end of the course, you should be able to give the what and the why of expository preaching. You should be able to do that by the end of next week. What is this preaching? Why do we do it? That will be our subject for our sessions next week. I'm going to teach you how to form exegetical and homiletical outlines. So we'll do two outlines for each text. One, what does the actual text say, the passage outline, the exegetical outline? And then we'll take that and we'll turn it into a sermon outline. How would you actually preach that text? And you'll be doing two outlines three times in the class. Three sets of two. So you will be doing six outlines in this class. Three exegetical outlines on a passage, three homiletical outlines. And you'll add to that homiletical outline the introduction, body, and conclusion. And on the broadest scheme, how do you start? What do you say in the middle? How do you actually end the sermon? And I want you, one of the key goals is to gain confidence, begin to gain confidence preaching. Some of us, how many of you have never preached before? Never preached before? Okay, most of you have, okay. So it's about a fourth of the class, I guess. My experience in teaching this, and this is my 41st time I think I've taught a preaching course, my experience is that the ones who have the most experience have the most difficult time. Because they have to learn two things. The rest of the students just have to learn how to preach. The ones who have a lot of experience have to unlearn what they knew before. That's step one. Then they have to learn what to do. So you got a two-step process. So don't feel bad, those of you that haven't preached before. And don't feel overconfident, those who have preached before. You know, there's always so much to learn. And then I want you to learn the course by teaching or translating it or a portion of it. We'll have a project, and you'll be able to take what you have in this class and communicate that to others in a small group setting. If you don't want to do translating, if many of us, English is our, you know, first language. But this course is in process of being translated right now into 22 languages. And I think we're going to go 23. Okay, Natalie's going to start in French. And my goal is to just kind of get this going, and then people from around the world can be doing this on their own so that they can teach this to others. We'll also make relevant applications from Scripture. So we'll talk about, well, how did the speaker apply it? Is that a really good application? Is it applying the right thing? Could it be a better application, etc.? We will evaluate the sermons to improve them. So each of you will fill out six sermon evaluation forms for the others in the class. You'll be gracious, I know, because they will be evaluating you as well. Yeah, with one less student since our... Well, we started with 12, then went to 11, then went to 10. Now we're going to go to 9 students now. I'll redo the little thing that shows who you evaluate, okay? Yeah, good question. And then we'll preach the what. We'll preach epistle and narrative sermons. All right, so you learn two different types of genre here. We're not going to get into how to preach Proverbs, how to preach parables, how to preach a lot of other things. I'm leaving that for Dr. Desmond so that we don't try to do too much in one course. And then here's the basic goal of the whole course is point I here. Preach, this is the how, this is how I want you to preach, okay? Preach a true, interesting, clear, relevant sermon. If you go in your notes to page 25, you will see that the sermon evaluation form that we have on that page has those four elements. You'll evaluate the several sermons in this class. Is it true? Is what the speaker's saying about this passage true? You'll be evaluating one of our chapel sermons. And you're going to ask that question. Did that speaker say what was actually in the text? I hope so, because the one who you're going to evaluate was one of my students 25 years ago. We're going to ask, is it interesting? Did that sermon hold my attention? So you'll be asking that. You'll be sharing that with one another. You know, were there enough illustrations, applications, tone of voice, etc., to make it interesting? Is it clear? Sometimes we can really be interested in what somebody's saying, but we have no idea what they're saying. And there's no real continuity with it. This is like what a stand-up comedian does. Stand-up comedian is just... Actually, he's only got one goal: be interesting. That's basically it. He didn't care whether he's teaching truth or being clear about it, because he can jump from subject to subject. And he certainly doesn't make any applications to be relevant, you know. But we really want to learn how to do all four of these in one sermon. Some of us will do better on the left-hand column. The others will do better on the right. We'll all know kind of where our weak areas are and how we can... We'll talk about how we can grow in those areas. Your text will be the one by Dr. Ramesh Richard, who's one of my friends, longtime friends, who has written this text preparing expository sermons. This is essentially what the other homiletics class that has the same hour right now, that Dr. Dez is teaching. It's upstairs in the other preaching room. We have two preaching rooms, okay? This is the one that's often used for our Chinese department classes. If you turn around, you'll see back there a cabinet. Inside that cabinet are a camera to record the sermons. And then next to it is a little cloth over a barrier that I sit behind. It's clear, actually. And I'll sit behind there with my little microphone. And what we'll do is you'll be speaking up here. We'll draw the curtains. That's why this classroom has curtains in it, so you have a nicer background. And you'll be preaching, 15-minute sermon, and I'll be back there going, what a great start to your sermon. That was great. I'm really interested. I want to hear what this passage says. I can tell that you know what you're talking about. So well done. Good job. And I'll be doing that, saying stuff like that. Right? Yeah. I'll be saying stuff like that on one channel of your recording. What do you call it? Not videotape, but anyway, we'll do it digitally here. And then the other channel will be your voice. And then you will be actually evaluating what you're doing later on. You'll watch yourself. And if you get tired of my voice, I'm on the other channel, just turn me off, you know? you can just hear the sermon, just you. Or if you want to just hear what I'm saying, you turn it up. And being on two different channels like that will be really helpful. That said, I really need help from one or two of you who can help with the camera and all that. Any of you not so afraid of such equipment? You know it won't bite you and stuff. If you're willing to help with that, that would be really great. I have the key for the cabinet, and I can show you what's in there and stuff. It's a good way to improve your grade. How's that? Is that better? More motivation? Let me know, okay? Well, we won't do that for a few weeks until we start preaching. At the end of the course, you'll be reading this book called Preaching with Freshness. And Preaching with Freshness will kind of, it's not so much method, but more like passion. And so you'll enjoy that. I hope you had the opportunity to read How to Communicate Ideas today. For today, this is I sent this to you all. And we'll talk about this in the second class. So you'll do some readings. You'll do a project. And my goal is that it not be like this for you, you know, where you're so loaded down that you feel like you're a donkey up in the air. The idea of the project is to see how we can help multiply what we're learning here into as many people as possible. Multiply some of the basics in your church, in other languages, etc. So as Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:2, you know, he said, you've heard me teach these things. So Timothy had heard Paul. It's been confirmed by many reliable witnesses, or reliable men. He says, now teach these truths to trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. So Paul's saying, hey, Timothy, you're second generation. Pass it on to third generation so those people can pass it on to fourth generation. And it's amazing how many thousands of people can be blessed by the Word of God just in this small class to do that. That's what I'm trying to do as I go among the nations. And I've taught homiletics in seven different languages through translators in these languages among various nations here. And that's been a real great, great joy to be able to put it there up on my website at Bible Study Downloads. And if you go up there, you can find all the PowerPoint on the preaching or homiletics for the course. And some of you probably already downloaded it, but you download anything that you want in English, but on the left-hand side are all the languages that we're doing. So if you click on the Chinese, you'll see this course is available in Chinese. And if you want to be teaching this to others, even in this class, I'm game if you want to do it, teaching others in Chinese or Indonesian, or we don't have any Vietnamese in this class. We have it in Tagalog, etc. I just need to know what you want to do in terms of how this works, and sign up on the sheet there. Right? So that's the project. And then your assignments. Give me a couple more minutes and I'll... Your assignments will be 12 short assignments, generally 1, 2, 3 pages, something like that. And these will be helpful to get you to be able to know what you're going to say in advance. I didn't do this when I took my own preaching course when I was in seminary. I just got the principles and then I just went up there and preached. I found that when I started teaching it that way here, students were going, I need help along the way until I actually get on up there. So we'll have an opportunity for you to do an outline, send it to me, I'll read it and I'll send it back to you. We'll do that. And we'll also partner with Dr. Dez. So there's one day, the first week of March, that I will actually be up at a conference in Bangkok. And so your class will join with Dr. Dez's class on that day when you talk about delivery. So that'd be good. Of course, most of the class is your actual speaking. I feel that since this is a speaking class, 50% of your course grade should be what your actual preaching, you know. So the others have a smaller one. And there'll be a speaking progression, okay? You may be terribly frightened about speaking, you know, right now, but the goal is to get you to just, you know, real natural. And the way we're going to do that is we'll introduce ourselves. We'll do that today. You'll give your personal testimony starting next week. Half of you will. You'll give a persuasion speech of just 2 minutes. You persuade us about something, anything. And then that'll help you prepare for doing an epistle sermon, and then finally a narrative sermon. And what I will do is, I give you the speaking grade sheet so you know what I'm actually expecting. And so the page 21 shows you that. So ho-hum is like, are you getting our attention? I'm only going to grade you in 5 different areas for your testimony. Your main points. Do we really understand kind of where your flow is in your testimony? Are you giving some are you just platitudes and generalities? Are you stating what Jesus did in your life in a main idea? And then how are you doing in terms of your presence before the class? And all that is designed to go to doing an epistle sermon, which I find easier, 1 to 2 verses. And then we'll do, later on we'll do, I'm going to actually shift this from Genesis to 1 Samuel, I think. I'm going to have you preach from 1 Samuel so you've got your texts. That's a bit harder and you're taking a bigger section. And page 6 shows you what your passages are. This is going to shift a little bit because we're taking a couple students out. But this will show you who's evaluating and who's speaking. So Clevy's going to be speaker number 1. His evaluators are right now 4, 7, and 10. So Esther evaluates him. Alyssa evaluates him. But Vanna would, but she's not actually going to be part of the class. So that's kind of how to read that thing. And so you can you can get started on your various sermon verses now because you know what they are. The idea is to be able to prepare. So if you don't preach well, even the rocks will cry out. You know, that's what Jesus said. The little children will cry out. So preach well. And what you will give me before you actually speak are a few things. You'll give me the day before you preach the outlines that you've worked on, the ones I've graded and that kind of thing. This is on page 7. You'll give up. I'd like you to have a PowerPoint slide that we can put up here that shows the whole structure of your sermon. You'll give copies of your sermon outline for everybody. And then I want a manuscript that shows what you wanted to say. You won't bring your manuscript up here, but I want you to spell out exactly what you had intended to say. The day you preach, bring a memory key, or we'll work it out somehow that we can get things off the camera onto your own. Or maybe lately we've been putting these things up on a Google Drive, and then everybody can just access the Google Drive. I think that actually works better. And then I want you to evaluate your own sermon within 2 days after you preach. So page 104 does a sermon self-evaluation. So you evaluate yourself after you're done. You know, what did I learn from this? How can I improve next time? That idea. If you're in a fog over your assignment, I'm very familiar with fog because I'm from the San Francisco area. And I've been in fog a lot of times. Ask for help. Don't be like this, you know. If your emergency phone is 174 kilometers ahead. And please only type your assignments. Watch out for your dog. Buy the warranty on your computer as well. So we don't have any handwritten assignments. That will make it easier for you to make corrections. I think you probably already do that anyway. You can copy class notes. You can contact me. My various stuff is there in your notes. And my office hours are... I'm doing all my teaching, actually, this semester, all on Tuesday. So I teach all the morning, and then I teach these 3 in the afternoon. So Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday are pretty clear for me. Yep. The voice in the bed. But I don't want to go back to church. Nobody there likes me. They tease me. They pull my hair. They beat me up. I hate it. No one said preaching would be easy, dear. Yeah. I hope that's not your experience about preaching. I had a bit of a struggle. I had a real struggle, actually, in my first church. It was tough. The most difficult thing I was doing was preaching. And, well, that was among many things. But anyway, and then when I did fairly well in seminary, but I got my lowest grades in my preaching course. All right? Then I came to SBC thinking I was going to teach Bible courses here. And the guy who was teaching preaching here before me had left. So they asked me if I would teach preaching. And I got my lowest grades in seminary in preaching, you know. But I also realized that God equips the called, right? And so he's given his grace to me to actually do this over the years. And I never dreamed that we'd actually have as many, as many languages and all this. But you guys are a big part of all that. So that's great. Okay, I think we're ready for a 10-minute break. So let's do that.